Hey listeners, is your morning cup of coffee tasting a little less flavorful than you expected? The secret to a great cup is starting with fresh beans, and at Joe Bean Roasters, they roast and ship daily, so you get super fresh coffee every single time. If you want to level up your morning routine, check out their new Guide to Brewing Better Coffee at Home, which covers everything from grind size to water quality. You can get cheap shipping straight to your door or choose convenient local pickup at Joe Bean or at Peppermint. Head to JoeBeanRoasters.com and use the promo code LUNCHADOR10 at checkout for 10% off your order. Thanks to Joe Bean for sponsoring the Lunchador Podcast Network.
And welcome back to another episode of Behind the Glass. I'm getting a little bit better with that. What do you think, Chris?
It felt pretty nice. Okay. I mean, it's feeling a bit late night, feeling a little bit
after
vibesy.
Midnight is the quiet storm.
I was going to say, you got the voice for it.
It's the quiet storm.
That was great.
Hotlines are now open. Call and make your requests. Shoot your shot. So we are back for another great episode of Behind the Glass, our podcast. And we are joined by our April featured guests. So this is, you know, kind of our new format of, you know, after the reception. And I think unique to this month is after two receptions for the space. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But this was a really cool show. You know, our second in the new space.
Second at Farmhouse.
Yep. Yeah. Second official. So, you know, a lot of really good energy, great space at Farmhouse, great partners. You know, I think folks have really enjoyed the bar and also having, you know, a kitchen available to them as well. And it's just a kind of a central space to either start or, you know, have it in the middle of your first Friday night or end your first Friday there. So it's a great space.
And just so aesthetically pleasing. I know I say that all the time, but we literally are behind the glass now.
Yeah, it's like we're on display. And it was kind of cool because I had to jump down and grab something from my car during the last opening. And I looked back up and you could see like people just enjoying themselves up there. And you're like, I knew what was going on, but if I didn't know, I'd be like, I wonder what's happening up there. And, you know, we have a little pennant that we've put up done by our friends at Golden Supply, and you could see it from the street, which I thought was kind of cool too. So just that, yeah.
And it looks great in there too, because that's that whole vibe of being downtown in the city. Mm-hmm. We've always been downtown.
Yeah.
But now when you're there, you're feeling it. You can see it. And that energy is contagious. You can feel it the whole time you're there.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And a lot of good conversations, a lot of good folks kind of coming and going and enjoying the art. And, you know, as we record this, you know, we're gearing up for our last Friday at Golden Supply on the 24th of April. So that's going to be another exciting opening. And then right after that, first Friday again for May 1st. Very special first Friday, and we'll talk more about that obviously during that episode, but features students from Todd Stahl's Webster Thomas. So his students have been painting from images taken by myself and Richard Cologne. And so it's really cool, like scenes of Rochester. And again, you know, if you know Richard and I's work, it's not the touristy parts, or it's not the landmark. So it's a really cool show for students. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, really pushing towards that emerging artist or, you know, folks that maybe have not shown as many times, these are ninth graders, which is wild when you see their work up close and, you know, the work that they were able to do. So really excited about that.
And Rob, that's got to be really cool to see that next generation coming out and respecting the work of people coming before.
Absolutely. Especially nowadays where, you know, everybody wants to be a content creator. Yeah. It's good to see some kids dabbling in the arts in that way. So I'm really looking forward to that show.
And when we talk about expanding space, you know, and Rob's here, you know, he just is coming off of a coffee party.
Coffee Party Rock.
Yeah. So a third space where we're helping curate. Yeah. So
that's at AMFM Coffee right now. We just had the second edition of Coffee Party Rock yesterday.
Woo-hoo.
And we're showcasing Nova's work in there. He's got about
15, what? Six, no. We lost count. We were hanging them for a while. Some really cool. It's his
like 20 some pieces.
Yeah, it's a really cool setup, and right and it, I think it was a vibe with what they were doing with Coffee, yeah. But also at AMFM for the entire month, and we've got two more collabs with them coming up, yes. And then another collab that I'm not going to talk about here, but something really exciting.
We are expanding the brand.
See, this is
Rob exciting. Likes to call, and he's wearing a the USA basketball. Jersey. Yeah. It's like we're talking, Bulls in 90s.
Yeah.
So that's how we feel.
It's
right
our
now.
It's our 90s run right yeah. now.
No, and it's super exciting because I know all the work that's gone into this for everybody too. Like this isn't an accident.
Yeah.
And you know, having the new energy from Rob, and I'm always loving to contribute to feeling where this is all going, and it's building on what you know we've all said for a long time. We're building this community. Yeah. This isn't just showing this is building this whole group of people that now have this beautiful network of people that they can talk to, that they can rely on. And that means a lot to a lot of the people that have been involved from the beginning and throughout. So
absolutely,
you know, congrats on the expansion and, you know, excited to see the next spaces too. So this is really cool.
For sure. Yeah.
So as we transition, we just want to, you know, throw out a lot of those great things coming up, and each of them will have their own podcasts and, you know, kind of deeper as well as the Substack that we've been, you know, really pushing in terms of additional content.
Yeah.
Yeah. So follow on Instagram and everywhere else just to keep attention on the stuff coming up, because there's a lot changing all the time.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It was like, I think we was like 4 posts in 5 days. We were like, what's going on? Wait, you're doing another? Wait, which one is this? What's going on? Yeah. So we're really excited. And like you said, it's really that community over competition. And how can we, you know, continue to give folks the opportunity to show their work and show their work in traditional and untraditional spaces. So it's really exciting for us. And exciting for us is to be joined by our April featured artist, and we'll kick over to Brian first. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, and just we'll start with yourself, and then we'll talk about your journey to photography.
Oh, myself. Let's see.
Such a loaded question.
It really is.
And also the meaning of life.
I feel like I can probably answer that better than talking about myself. So I am a coffee professional. Mm-hmm. Been in the coffee industry for a little over a decade now on the tech side. I've been a repairman. So I work for a company called Whole Latte Love. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of that one. One of the cool things about coming to a lot of these shows is the amount of people in the coffee community. Mm-hmm. Like Ty, you know, just all these people that you run into is like, hey, I know you. And it's, so I'm a family man. Got my son here peeking in, watching us do this because he wants to be a YouTuber someday. Mom's at home.
That wasn't a dig at being a content creator.
No, it wasn't a dig.
No, that's great.
So that's something good to strive for. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Soon to be producing on Lunch at Door.
I need the help.
Not a lot to say, I don't think. I don't know.
What's your go-to coffee drink? As we'll like pivot here to becoming a coffee podcast as well.
Shout out to Dialed In, our coffee show with Wade Reed and Aaron Piscucci.
All right, two people I've known for a long time too.
Yeah.
go-to coffee, black coffee, or just shots of espresso. Yeah.
See, all this tracks. The fact that he doesn't want to talk about himself. The fact that he drinks black coffee, I drink black coffee too.
He's a man after my own heart with those two drinks.
Very understated. I remember when I was working on an article for the Substack, and like most of the questions you put out there is like, what's the story behind your art? Why do you do this? And it was like, there is no story. It's kind of like, you know, this is my own curiosity that I'm going after. So it all tracks for you,
Brian. Yeah, and it definitely feel that. And it's funny that Rob says that because it's the quiet moments. And I think that was one of the things that you had talked about in that article. And your photos are these quiet, dark moments. Like, what brought you to photography, and then kind of what took you down that path?
So photography started off, it's 20 years ago or something like that. I got my first digital camera.
Thinking 20 years ago, like that's the 90s or so.
Stop aging me.
Don't remind us. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. I remember my old Kodak camera with 110 film.
Oh, man.
Little good like spyglass ones. Wow. Yeah, one of those. But I got into photography when I was doing solo hiking, go up to the Adirondacks and stuff. And I used to do a lot of landscape. And I got bored of it somehow, and I just fell out of it, and I stopped shooting for a really long time. Started dabbling in it here and there over the years, but really what kind of drove me hard back into it was just to go deep onto myself. So I was in a car accident several years ago, and I had to make some big life changes after that, and kind of slowing myself down, and somehow that just naturally gravitated towards photography. So I just found myself wandering in the neighborhood, taking shots. And then because of work, family life, and everything like that, starts being more towards nighttime. And I was like, what am I going to do? I can't shoot night, right? Shooting on a Canon T7, well, APS-C sensor does not do that great in the dark. It's what my son shoots on now, though. He's learning from where I came from. Basically, it was one evening, it was just turning dark out, walking down University Ave, and sun just set, and I start noticing these different shadows and everything, and I notice, you know, the people leaving, and everything's just quiet and dark, and something about that just kind of clicked for me. I liked the feel of it, so I just kept leaning into it, and now that's my preferred. Like, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing when I go out in the day and shoot, so...
I kind of did want to take a step back because you mentioned going through that accident and that it forced you to slow down. How, like, that had to be jarring, right? Like, as I know, as somebody, I like to do lots of things all the time. Like, that had to be a bit of a jarring thing.
Yes.
To have to, like, rebuild in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a lot of, I had a traumatic brain injury, basically. Mm. And when I was in the hospital, I found out that I actually have a neurological condition that isn't very well known. There's not a lot of cases of it. So it's not something that they can give me clear guidance on. So they're like, oh, you just can't like push yourself. No, like deadlifting and things like that. But so now every time I go, it's the other night when I was going up the parking garages and I'm going up like 8 flights of stairs and I'm starting to get like getting up to the top and I start getting like kind of swimmy feeling in the head and it's like, oh no, I gotta slow down. I don't think it's actually anything. I think I'm just in my own head, but it's a lot of that. It's like, you know, I used to be a lot more active. We love climbing mountains and stuff, you know, and now I always have that in my head. Like what's too much, what's going to push me over the edge and going to be a bad situation for me and for my family. So I found that just slowly walking the streets during the night, it's a lot more relaxed and it's better headspace.
Yeah. But also lets you reflect on all that stuff too.
Exactly.
Don't reflect on what matters. And sometimes you're taking pictures of things that matter to you.
Exactly.
What do you shoot on now that is better for nighttime photography?
I'm on a Sony A7 III.
Shout out to Sony.
I could see. You started saying Sony, and I could see Rob's eyes. It was like love language.
Yeah.
I was.
I'm part of the Sony cult for sure.
All right. I was walking down the street with Nick on Friday, and some guy was driving by, and he saw us walking down the street with cameras, and he was like, "Hey, what are you guys shooting? What are you shooting?" Next one, oh, Fuji. Sony. It's like, yeah, Sony.
Once you go Sony, you never go back.
When right. in a photo town, someone's like yelling, what are you shooting down the street? Like, what are you doing? What do you find, like, when you think about the, it was interesting to hear you talk about the landscape stuff that you were doing when you reached the top of a mountain and then talking through that story of reaching the top of a parking garage and now you're taking a different type of landscape, the urban landscape. You know, when you started taking those photos, like how did they make you feel? Did it take you back to the time when you were out in nature taking those shots?
So I think when it really took me back was when I got a 85 millimeter lens. Mm-hmm. Now that's kind of a weird lens to choose when you're used to cityscape, right? Like just this big wide angles, and then all of a sudden you're super close into everything. So I remember the first like two nights I was questioning my life decisions after buying that lens. And then I got home and was reviewing some of the shots I got and just seeing those details. And that really took me back to when I was out hiking, because a lot of the times the shots that I was taking weren't the broad landscapes. It was more of the details, mm-hmm. like the nooks and crannies of waterfalls, the wild root systems that you see on the edge of a cliff, things like that. So I definitely see a lot of what captured me in nature capturing me in the architectural.
Well, that 85, because I remember the first time I shot on 85 lens, you get taken aback a little bit. It's just like, wow, like this is a perspective that the eye can't replicate.
Right, right.
And it's just like, it makes you want to look at the details of everything. So I just wonder how that plays into you having to slow down and working hand to hand with, okay, I got to slow down my lifestyle a little bit and focus on the details of things. Is it correlation?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's like the movies where you get that like bionic eye and, you know, he sees things far away and all of a sudden it super snap zooms in.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it's like when you're out shooting. Like you'll see a cool building, right? Like the Powers building. We've all seen it from, you know, down the street or right in front of it, and it looks really cool in and of itself. When you can get up higher and into some more of the shadows, and especially at night, I took some of my favorite shots are of that building. I mean, there's so many shots. On a slow night, I'm like 150 shots, and that's if I'm like just out hanging out with people. On one of my normal solo Friday night walks, I'll walk away with almost 2,000 shots. So wow. Even though I post on Instagram every single day, people don't see probably a fraction of what I actually shoot.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting and the one thing that I've always gravitated to about your work was instead of those broad shots, you're bringing us into like these funky little corners and how the building, especially downtown, where those buildings are layered in such a fun, dynamic way. Or, you know, you're shooting from a rooftop and there's a guy like, you know, loading the back of a truck, and like these moments that people may not see or not even think about, you're now focused on that entirely instead of the broader picture. Like, was that just a thing, or did that, like, was that intentional in some way, or is it just your curiosity for?
I think it's a lot of just the curiosity. I think back to way back in high school, right? We would kind of explore around, go in alleys and things like that. I was talking to, somebody the other day, talking about urban exploring, right? Like we would go down to the old subway. That was a very common thing we did back then. One of the things that we used to do was rooftopping. And rooftopping, if you don't know what it is literally you just wander around and find a fire escape and try to get up on it and get up on the top of the building. Mm-hmm. So I think that doing the parking garage and stuff like that, because obviously, you know, I'm a little bit older now, I gotta try to respect some of the laws. So try to limit the amount of trespassing I do a little bit. This isn't being aired or anything, right?
You say allegedly.
Only
allegedly, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're dropping the allegedly. You're good to go. So, Brian, tell us about the pieces that you chose for Behind the Glass for this month. And you know, you just said I take about 2,000 pictures when you're out on a solo walk, and you've got, you know, six spots to really dial in on.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago too. Yeah. Yeah. Man, it's a great way to beat yourself up being in a show. I remember getting about 40 or 50 pictures into a specific folder in Lightroom and saying, all right, these are the ones I really like, and this is well called down from there. So I build that folder, and I go into that folder, and I'm like, this is all trash. I don't like any of this. What was I thinking? What am I doing? You know, I've done it before. I've been in a couple shows before. Yeah. So used to beating myself up. But the what got me to do those specific shots, a lot of it was just kind of my family and my friends, like ones that I knew that they liked. And then I just wanted to do kind of a mix of some of my older stuff, some of my newer stuff, anything that was older. The insufficient funds shot, that one was it's an old ATM mm-hmm. or a teller window downtown in LA right next to the Powers building. Mm-hmm. Aaron Piscucci, that was actually on a photo walk that I did with him that night that I took that shot, and that was about 2 years ago. That one was, I actually just did a fresh edit of it. My style of editing has changed, so that kind of just a camaraderie thing drove me to that one. I wanted to put that one up. The shot of the Powers building, that was my son Jake's favorite, so I had to choose that one. The little theater shot, that one is my wife's favorite shot, so picked that one. And I can't tell you what drove me to the rest of them. It was just sure, that'll work.
It is this weird thing that happens when you're preparing for a show where it's like, well, I know this is the first time some people are going to see my work, mm-hmm. but then I also want to like try some stuff, but then I also want to like represent. It's like all these different, at least for me, I'll speak mm-hmm. for myself, it's all these different conflicting aspects that come into it. And like you said, you put a folder together and then all of a sudden it's like, nothing I ever shot ever is good. Yeah. Like, I suck. I don't like any of this stuff.
That, to me, that's the hardest part of, like, I've heard other artists talk about, like, the themes that they went with and everything. And I think that that makes it so much harder. Like, if I wanted to pick a specific theme to use other than nighttime and deep shadows, like, that'd be easy because that's most of my work. But I... anything beyond that, it's like, I don't know, because, you know, like with answering the questionnaire, right? Like, yeah. I don't go out with a specific story in mind or anything. So it's hard to use that as a driving factor to what I'm going to present.
I think that's the beauty too. And and we've talked about it on the podcast a million times. When you're searching for the shot, you never find it. Mm. But when you let the shot come to you, those are the most magical moments, right? It's the same with the theme. Like, you'll have a through line through all of your work with it being unintentional, as opposed to like you're trying to force into the shoe hole. I'm going to go out tonight. You may go out and say, tonight I'm going to take pictures of rooftops. But then when you're out, you start to see alleys that look a lot cooler than the rooftops. Like, I can see that changing. But when people are like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to take the shot tonight, the shot. Then you're like, you're just in your head the entire time. And instead of 2,000 shots, you've taken 20,000 shots and they're not what the shot you were looking for, where I think it kind of comes to you, which is a little more magical, if you will.
Yeah. And then your memory card would light on fire.
Yeah.
I think that's when it happens, right? When you get to 20,000 shots in a day.
Yeah.
Your memory card just spontaneously ignites.
That's why I got dual cards, you know. You got to worry about that.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of shots to go through and edit, man.
It is. I created my own like little personal presets that I use to just kind of get me started. Like, if you were ever to look at my initial call, everything is super underexposed. Obviously it's nighttime, but I could even compensate in camera more. But what I found was when I'm recovering from that darkness, it brings out more of what I liked in my editing style. I had a name that I called my style of editing. It was recovering the lost, I think it was what I was calling it. But that's really, it kind of suited me as a person, as a photographer, and just the style of what I was going for too.
And you said you were in other shows.
Yes. My first show that I ever did was at Union Place Coffee mm-hmm. Roasters out in Henrietta. I went huge on that one.
Yeah, I remember.
I did some really large prints for that. And then my second show, I was right at the end of the year. Last year I was at AMFM.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember both of those. And I know we had talked, probably more than a year ago now, and about getting you in. And once we got you in, was really excited to have you a part of Behind the Glass. And was excited to see your friends and family come out and enjoy as well. So thank you for,
thank you. I mean, I can't say this enough. Like, I mean, you guys are the first gallery that I went, not the first gallery I ever went to, but once I started getting really into the community, into shooting, associating myself as being a photographer, you guys are where I found a home. You're where I started connecting with people that, you know, I felt like I actually could bond with. A lot of the people that the regular people I talk to, right? Like Nick Rock Street Photo, Just Joe, Dakota there, everyone. So like all the people that I regularly speak to, I met through you guys.
That's awesome.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, thank you. The
community for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to pivot over here.
Oh, man.
Do you prefer to be called Ty?
Whatever's easiest. People always butcher Titiana. They always say Tatiana.
Titiana.
Yeah. Thank perfect.
My first name is Quadre, so.
Oh, man. Listen, my mom cannot get your name right to save her life.
Yeah, your mom is great, though.
I heard your mom was buying shots. What? At the first reception. Yeah,
there was a...
Oh, man.
Tequila, right?
Oh, with a slice of orange or something.
Yeah, like that, with the brown sugar.
Yup.
We were calling it the behind the glass drink.
Oh, I love that.
Because people kept going down. They were like, we're going to go get the behind the glass. And Eddie at the bar knew. Stop. And so they were going down. Yeah, your mom had a thing going.
Shout out, Mama.
I missed it, so.
Shout out, Mama. That's
she,
her.
You know, she came and bought your work.
She did.
To the gallery to be hung.
She did.
And she was, I looked out and I didn't know it was your mom until I saw someone get out with like all of these photos. I was like, oh, it must be her mom. And she came up and was like, I've not seen these. Is it okay if we open it so I can look at the photos? And so it was like this, you know, we've had a lot of parents, we've had a lot of grandparents, we've had a lot of spouses, brothers, sisters, people that have come to the space. And for some of them, this is the first time they've seen their work up on a wall. I know you've had your work out there before, but it's something so cool about having a conversation with someone about the work. And I mean, she was like trying to, me and Brian are hanging his pieces up and she's like trying to like rip the, like, let's get this open. I want to go. It's like, it was so cool to kind of see that pride. And as we started opening up some of the photos, she was like, oh, this was Boston. This was this. The one that made me laugh though, and it's the photo that is kind of your, I wouldn't say your signature photo, but the photo that has been shown probably the most is your feet in the window. Mm-hmm. And your mom says, whose feet are these?
No, she did not.
I kid you not. No, Brian, right? That was there. Yep. And I was like, I think it's her feet. And if it's not, that's a really cool shot.
That's so fantastic.
For all of, you know, all of the pride your mom had, she was like, I've never seen her wear Converse before. These can't be her feet.
Yeah, I mean, I rarely wear Converse, yeah, so she's right about that. And I don't think I posted that shot. I don't think I've ever posted that. So
yeah, it was really funny to me.
You talked a little bit about the story behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you get into that a little bit? Because I thought that was a really cool story.
Yeah, so I had taken a break. I was at work, the current job, and that was the time. I come from corporate America, and I have done over like 10 years of that, more specifically on like the hospital health care side of things. And I thought it was a jump that I had taken for the better, and it actually was a lot closer tied to the hospital than I thought it would be. So I was stressed out because I was like, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I go outside, I take a break, and I'm just like, I constantly remind myself, like, this is for a reason. This is a stepping stone in the direction or in the path, on the path that's meant for you. I had just started learning how to just surrender to the natural flow of things too. So I was like, you know what? I had gotten my emotions out. I had cried a little bit, you know, dropped a couple F-bombs. I was like, this don't feel good. I vented to a couple people. And then finally I was just like, you know what? We're just trusting the process. And I literally just, I'm like, I'm not letting this phase me. Something bigger and better is coming. I just put my feet up and I was like, oh, this is a shot. I'm like, this feels exactly how I feel inside.
Wow.
And that, yeah. Long-winded, but yeah.
I just love that story behind that because it's so so personal, so intentional, and you can feel it. You can feel the intention. Even before I heard the story, you could feel the intention. Yeah.
There's something magical about that that photo.
That's so wild. 'Cause in my mind, I'm just like, this is just another picture that people are going to see of like some Converse. And like, I never thought that it would hit as hard as it hit. And so to hear that feedback is really
I mean, I
dope.
Think and Rob could probably share too. There are photos that we've all taken, and Brian, and really anyone in the gallery. The photo may mean one thing to you, but then has like this much deeper meaning to someone else. And you're like, that's not what I was thinking about at all. Like it was the moment that I thought it was a cool frame, or I just wanted to capture this thing. And, but then to also hear your emotion and what led to that also brings people to a different space where they're like, yeah, I've had that moment where I went out to my car from work, or I've had that moment where, you know, I used to do it. I used to call it taking a lap. Right. Mm. And so if I felt a certain way about what was going on, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna take a lap. And I would take a lap in or outside of the building away from the work. I'd turn my phone off and come back and, you know, the same thing, maybe drop a couple F-bombs on the way and then come back refreshed and say, all right, this is part of a deeper thing going on.
And so, it's almost like once you decided to surrender in that moment, you got a gift back and that awareness of, oh, this is a dope shot. Mm-hmm. And then that shot turns into something that is, you know, signature part of your portfolio, I'm guessing, at this point. But you took it with your phone, right?
I take all your photographs with your phone.
And that's the magic. I loved. So, you know, obviously we just geeked out for a second.
You did. I was like, I don't know what any of this means.
I don't either. I don't either. I'm going to be 100% with you. When someone asked me, oh, did you use a filter for this? I'm like, a filter for what? They're like, on your camera. I'm like, I just took the picture. Oh, what was your white balance? I just, you know.
I hate talking about that part of photography.
That it's you know, but I understand, you know, why people do what they do. And, you know, I've had Canons forever because that's what I grew up and learned on. Mm-hmm. But I also recognize the magic of a Sony. I recognize the magic of a Fuji. Like all these cameras that have certain purposes, like me and night shots don't get along because like I can't get what I want. But I know Sony users can dial in, and it's almost made for that high ISO to geek out a little bit more. But when we were talking about your photos, because I knew they were taken with a cell phone.
I did not.
And people were talking about them. And I was like, hey, just so you know, like these are cell phone photos. And they're like, whoa, this is, and it kind of changes the vibe. And I often use the example of there was a point where I did a lot of talking in schools, talking to students about photography, talking about all this stuff. And all of the kids would start to talk about, you know, what kind of camera do you use? And I said, this is the camera I use, but I recognize there's a privilege in owning a camera, having the funds to do it. Mm-hmm. Most of my photos are taken with my cell phone, everyday photos, which your, you know, family, something that you may see at a traffic light, something, right? And they're like, but you have a camera and you've done all this stuff. And then I lean in as if I'm whispering and telling a secret. I would say, you know, one of the photos that most people have seen of mine that hung at the Memorial Art Gallery was taken with a cell phone. Oh. And it hung in a gallery.
That's so beautiful.
And the reason why I was taken with a cell phone is because I did not want to leave the conversation that I was in to go and grab my camera to take a photo. But I had my phone in my hand and I just snapped one shot of this moment and end up becoming like, it was in magazines, it was in the gallery. And so I tell students that all the time, as I told people that night, like these are everyday moments. And I think that's the coolness about your work.
Thank you.
So how did you, like, tell us a little bit of your story. Ooh. Is that as hard as me asking Brian and then loading it in with the...
there's really not much to it. I mean, I've been taking pictures. I used to take pictures on like prepaid phones too. And and I remember my first camera, like my parents would buy me like the little cheap cameras and stuff. I can't even remember what they were, what kind they were. But I've just always been into it. I've just always been into expressing myself that way. I really don't like using my voice much. Mm-hmm. I fumble over my words and my brain starts to scramble. So taking pictures was always my way of communication, my way of communicating what I was feeling or how I see the world. Or it's I think I said, like, in the Substack, it's the way that I felt most seen and most heard.
Mm-hmm. So it's less about what you see and more about how you feel.
1,000%. Everything I take up until, like, the shots that I chose for the show, everything had to be, like, based on a feeling, like something that made me go, okay, passion. Passion is the biggest thing for me. Like, however you interpret that, if I feel passionate about it, I'm going to do it. And I didn't always trust that. And photography helped me trust that passion. And again, helped me find my voice too. Throughout, like, growing up and stuff like that, my family would tell me, like, you have such an eye, you have to do something with it. Up until now, people would be like, why aren't you a photographer? Like, oh, you know, because I feel like right now the the term photographer is such a, there's a stigma behind it of, like, you got to be 1,000% professional. Mm-hmm. You have to have a business. You have to have certain certifications and stuff like that.
It's loaded.
So loaded. Yeah. And for the longest, it's the reason why I didn't even consider myself a photographer. I'm not a photographer.
How many times have we heard that on this podcast?
Welcome to Behind the Glass Gallery.
Oh, it's so real.
I do not feel like a photographer.
No, it's so real. Or an artist.
Hi, my name is Ty. I'm a recovering photographer.
Literally. No, literally. Yeah. No, that's, yeah. So they would, I mean, up until now, they always say that, like, you got to do something with this. And I'm like, no. Like, I just want to be. I just want to have fun. It's a hobby. I don't know. And I could never see myself monetizing off of that. It was this gallery that made me realize, because people are like, all right, well, how much are you going to charge? I was in my very first gallery for Hispanic Heritage Month.
City Hall, right?
City Hall, yep.
The Link Gallery.
First, yep, the Link Gallery. First time I ever printed my work.
Wow.
Besides, like, canvas, because I would gift people as I was younger, like, canvas, photos on canvas, whatever. But that was the first time I had seen my work printed, and someone came up to me and said, how much do you want for that? And I was like, I don't want anything. Like, what do you mean, how much do I don't want nothing. You want it, take it. But where was I going with that? See, that starts a buffer. I realized that the only way that I could see myself monetizing is if it was, like, in some big, like, art gallery or something like that. But besides that, like, my intention is not to sell my work. If it speaks to you, great, it's yours. It's as simple as that.
It definitely changes it when, and it's similarly, I've always said that about photography too. Because so many of the things that I do with creating, I have to monetize to make a living, right?
Yeah, and for
photography
sure.
always felt like this special thing where if I could just keep this for me, then that would be great. I've never wanted to take gigs or, you know, promote myself as somebody, like, book me, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I do think it changes it sometimes when it's for the money.
For sure. 1,000%. You hear that all the time. Yeah. My mom actually, she was prime example. And I live with this in my head. She did hair when she was younger. And then she started getting family that would come in and expecting it for free. And she lost, like, she was genuinely passionate about it. And because she did it professionally, she lost that passion. She lost it. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like that's definitely around, and it happens a lot.
I think it puts questions of worth to the forefront, right? Because it's part. Just like you said, like, well, how much do you want for this? And then all of a sudden you have to ask yourself, well, how much is it worth? How much am I worth? I'm
price on that.
And that's uncomfortable, right? Yeah. It's just like, I didn't do this for that. I did it because, like you said, it's what I was feeling. So
yeah,
I think it is a tough thing for a lot of people to transition to okay, now I'm going to charge for this, or, like,
for sure.
put a price on it, so to speak.
For sure.
Especially when you see it as your passion project. Yeah. How much is your passion worth?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Like, and that's, it's oh. not, it's, oh it's really, God. And that's the honest thing, right? Because, like, a lot of us are doing these things as our release, our passion project. Like, this is my passion project, you know, the podcast thing. Having that in my life has made it immeasurably better. And yes, obviously we're trying to, you know, get money to the shows and everything else, but if I had to quit my day job and do that, it wouldn't feel the same. Because we can do it the way we want to do it. We can do it with the passion we want to do it with. And it's really hard because, yes, talent is one thing and enjoying it's another. But the monetization and that loaded question of how much is your passion worth? How much is your art worth? Instead of just taking something because, you know what? Man, it felt like the right moment.
Yeah.
And that matters to you.
Yeah. This isn't a business. This is a passion.
Yeah.
So something I want to ask. I remember when that campaign that the iPhone was doing, they would put it on billboards. It'd be a great photo. They'd be like, shot on the iPhone. I'd be like, bullshit.
That's so good. No, for real.
That's what but it made me think that looking at your work, I was having a conversation with somebody at the opening that night, and I told them, oh, you know, that's all shot on cell phone. They were like, what kind of cell phone? They were like, what do they have rigged up to it? Like, not the iPhone I got.
Dang, I should have put that
something? Do you tweak settings of your phone?
For sure,
Do you do something to get the look in your cell phone?
I find that I love warmth.
Okay.
Like the warm look. So like I mess with lighting. Very rarely do I mess with definition. I just learned like this past year how to mess with like the shadow with the iPhone. Like it, when you click on the screen, the little shadow bar, the light bar, where you can make it brighter or darker. I just learned how to mess with
this
that.
This is before you shoot, not the after.
No, this is before I shoot. Yeah, this is so the shadow thing, the lighting, messing with the lighting specifically. That's like before I take the shot.
Okay.
And then after that, if I want to bring some warmth out or like definition or something like that, if I want to take highlights away, then I'll do that. But I think the biggest thing for me is playing with light. Mm. Honestly, light and shadows.
But no extra lenses.
No.
No,
what's crazy is when I was younger, they had these clip-on lenses. Oh my gosh. I had those. Those were a time. I'm actually considering getting those back. I don't know what happened to
them. I remember I had a fisheye one.
The fisheye.
So good.
The fisheye. That's exactly the one.
And I would just like jam it in the middle of a circle. Yes. And people were like, yeah, you got the fisheye.
Yup.
But I never had like the official one. I got like the ones that were like cheap.
I had the one from Walmart.
Yeah. And that was the end of that. You spent $5, got another one for Five Below, no problem.
Spelled FYSH-I.
Yeah.
Just the letter.
Literally.
Real Walmart bargain basement stuff.
Yeah, no problem. I got
so
it.
So wholesome.
Team your composition and your framing with the phone, I think, is really impressive because I can never achieve that with my phone.
Mm.
Like Kwajay said, like there are times when I'm like, I'm not digging in my bag to get the camera because I'm going to lose the moment or the feeling. I'm going to just take this with my phone. Very rarely do I like those photos, though, because I like having the control of the frame with my actual camera.
Okay, yeah.
So I really admire what you do with your phone because I think that you achieve a composition that would take me forever with my phone.
I got nothing. Thank you.
Yeah. What's funny is I think one of the photos that I took at your opening, Rob, of you and the family was on my phone.
You're good with your phone too, though. Yeah.
And I like just jammed it in. And so the kids didn't get distracted by like, oh, this guy's got a big camera, which I think is cool for
part
the phones
of it too.
Because, you know, when Brian's talking about an 85 millimeter, depending on, you know, what kind of 85 that is, it could be that long. It could be that, you know, it could be a lot of different looks. And people are like, oh man, that guy's taking a photo. But when you like jam in your cell phone, people are like, yeah, whatever.
That telescope I used to have when I shot for the DMC. Man. Oh my God. I used to hate walking around.
I got
that
a couple
thing.
Pictures of you with that. I walked down. I'm like, oh, look at Rob over there with that.
It's like what they use on Artemis 2. That thing's about this fucking big.
I love it.
So let's talk about your opening. So obviously, you were not feeling well for the original First Friday. And so we were kind of bummed about that. But we were able to, and you were able to, you did all of the heavy lifting, were able to pivot and do a second. I don't even know which Friday it was, third.
So
yes, it's okay.
You know, past Friday, you did a nice opening. And, you know, looking through those photos, like people came out to show you love. How did that feel for you? Especially, you know, as you talk through the imposter syndrome of being a photographer, seeing your work printed. And that was the first time you had seen what we hung.
Yeah.
Outside of the video that you know, maybe me and your mom sent to say, this is how your show looks. Is this cool kind of thing? And you gave me freedom to, you're like, yeah, just hang it however you want to.
Yeah. Oh, shout out everyone that came. Oh yeah. It leaves me at a loss of words. I didn't expect two people. That's it. That's good for me. That's good enough for me. But the amount of people that came and showed love, I mean, a big part of that is because of you guys too, right? So thank you so much for all you guys do and for the space that you create. It's so naturally inviting and just aligned and whatever. But yeah, it was, I'm trying not to cry. I feel it. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was genuine. People really felt me. And that's the thing about not being there for the first Friday. I had to really sit down because mentally I was not well. Physically I wasn't well, but mentally I'm like, dang, I'm really going to miss this. Like, I was bummed. And I tend to try and find the bigger picture in things because there's always a bigger picture. There's always a bigger message. And I was like, all right, well, what's the bigger message here? And I realized, well, the whole point of this is to be felt. So even though I wasn't seen, I know I was still felt through my images. But yeah, I mean, long-winded to answer your question, it was great. It was so great to just share and bask. I'm a big let's break bread at the table kind of person, especially for those moments or any moments, birthdays, whatever, you name it. So that was a form of breaking bread. That was a form of paying homage to the people who honestly make me, me. Yeah. And who are a part of this person that I'm becoming.
It's worth taking that second to feel it.
Yeah.
And everything goes so fast with life and everything else. And when you have that opportunity, and to not just feel it for yourself, but to feel it for everybody else who gave you, who set you up. You know, I think we all don't take enough of those opportunities, and I'm really glad you got to feel that with the people that helped you get there.
Thank you. I'm a firm believer in we're all reflections of each other too. So like to see who came and to see them say, oh my God, this piece is beautiful. It moved me. I'm like, well, I'm a big, the beauty you see in me is the beauty in you, right? Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So like to see that and to bask in that, there's honestly, that's the whole point for me. There's nothing else to it.
Just one additional question. Maybe two. I don't know where this is going to go, but I know Chris has given me the look. the producer look. That's why I'm kind of pivoting towards not like this. I got my worst blinders on. So when kind of similar to Brian, like, you know, I asked you about Behind the Glass during another opening, like you had walked into Fuego. Me and Richard had been talking about you earlier that day. And I was like, he was like, I'll kick off a group text and we'll get it all squared away. You walked in and I'm like, hey, Behind the Glass, are you in, yes or no? And I think that was like we had met, but like never, like, I think it was just, you know, Uncle Marble.
Yeah.
Like,
Fuego, yeah.
Like,
you know, yep, for got, here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. For yep. here to go. That was kind of like, you know, how did that feel for you to, you know, kind of push you even further? You know, your family's telling you this. Now here's this person who's more or less a stranger saying, we want to have you in the gallery.
Well, the first question that comes up is why me? Right. That's a big thing. Why me? Right. But it was another, I've had many opportunities now, or I've been presented with many opportunities that are like, all right, let's test. You like this, or this is your passion, or you're willing to pursue your passion. All right, cool. Let's see how willing you are. And I've been faced with a lot of those this past year. And I felt like this was another one where, cause it's so easy for me to get in my head and overthink and like get overstimulated and then talk myself out of things. Mm-hmm. I think about it too hard. If I think about it too hard, I'll think myself out of it. So that's the first thing that popped in my head when you asked. I was like, why me? And then I was like, just say yes. It's your passion. Say yes to your passions. You're in a season of saying yes to your passions. Do it. And I did it. And when I left, I was like, I'm not going to do that. Nope. I'm going to find a reason to back out. I'm like, yup. Nope. Yeah. But again, there was a bigger part of me that was like, no, you're being presented with this. Do it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, when we are, Rob, Richard, and I are really passionate about having someone in a gallery, we give them two no's. So you can say no twice for scheduling conflicts or something. And then the third time, we just put you on the flyer.
Oh, my God. So, oh, we're really
just so you're aware, we've done it many a time. It's worked out.
It's beautiful.
But we just say, listen, we believe in your work. And we want to show it. And, you know, I think Brian and I talked about this at the opening. There's a lot of folks that are in the city and, you know, it's almost impossible for us to highlight every single one. Mm-hmm. But there is a feeling that we have in a moment. And we're like, this is the time. Yeah. And it just happened to be this weird coffee connection between you and Brian. It like happened to be a couple other things. But there are times where our curation is, we think these two people are great together, and we think this is a good month for them to show. Yeah. And, you know, when you talk about that feeling, Rob and I don't like being the face of, you know, we don't want people to like, you know who we are, but we're not walking around saying, hi, we're the curators of Behind Glass and blah, blah, blah. Because we like to hear how people are feeling about what's going on in the space. You know, Richard was really great about being out front. Right.
Yeah.
That's not who we are. So we still tell people Richard makes all the decisions.
Oh, I love that. I love it.
Yeah. He makes all the decisions remotely from Missouri.
Oh, I love
that. If you have a concern, please email Richard Cologne.
I love that. Felt. I can relate.
So, thank you so much. So we're going to take a quick commercial break here. And then we're going to come back and we just want to hear, you know, where can folks find you? And if you have something exciting coming up or maybe even words of wisdom and affirmation that you want to share with our listeners.
We'll be right back.
The Level Up Coffee Podcast is now dialed in.
We love coffee and stay connected to every development in the industry, both here in Rochester and worldwide, to bring you our unique perspective on the ever-changing world of coffee.
We're doing regular tastings, reporting on our travels, and trying to hold back tirades about the forces that make the coffee supply chain a neo-colonial mess. Join us on the Lunchador Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts and stay
dialed in.
Oh, my cap. I love it.
Thank you. We're back.
I have my eyes closed. I was still trying to avoid eye contact with you just in case we ran over time. Out of habit. We're back from a beautiful commercial break, both on air and off. And so we're just going to kick it over to Brian real quick. And it's, you know, where can folks find you, you know, that are looking for you and your work and the amazing photos that you take?
So I am mostly on Instagram. It's at @framedbytucker, underscore for the spaces. I also have a website. I'm working on kind of doing a brand refresh on it. So it's a little hit or miss right now. But
I feel like we all have a website that we're working on.
Yeah.
And we just keep paying for it.
This
is the year.
This is the year that I will get it updated where I want it to be. But yeah, it's BrianTuckerPhotography.com website. I'm also on Facebook, Brian Tucker Photography, but I posted today for the first time in like 2 months. So not the freshest content from there.
Awesome.
But yeah, other than that, you'll see me wandering around the streets at night on Friday nights.
I love it. And the follow-up question, because you've said yes a few times to different opportunities. If there is a listener out there right now that's like hesitant about saying yes, like what's your advice to pushing them over that hurdle?
Oh, geez. Just let go. Just do it. You spend your whole life being worried about what happens if you say yes, and that's just the wrong way of approaching everything. You cause more hurdles in life by saying no. It's actually, I'm glad you asked that because it's a great segue for, I wanted to make sure that I said this today. Ty, I'm super, super glad that they chose you to be involved with this, to be in the show. There was something that happened recently at, a photo walk where somebody was talked down upon for shooting a cell phone. And I hate that. I don't hate a lot of things, but I hate that. So the fact that you as a photographer that uses a cell phone for your work can show so many people and have them just be like, wait, what? That was taken with a cell phone? Like that I think is powerful beyond words, because that gives so many more people an opportunity to embrace the art. And I don't know how to articulate it quite well, I guess, but that is a huge thing. Like, there's so many things that block people from being artistic. And I don't think that the stigma of you should have this camera that costs a ton of money. Like, if I sell my work, I don't like to charge a lot for my work. I like to sell enough that I can maintain justifying printing it, which I print mostly at home, and my lens addiction, basically. So beyond that, it's like, you know, it's just for the joy of doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, it's just making it so that it's more approachable for people is super, super important. And that's why I love that you do this.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
So I kick it over to you. Where can folks find you?
Instagram. Come hang out with me on Instagram. It's not nothing formal. Titiana_Jordan. That's TYTIANA_J. Not Jordan, _J.
And I was like, wait a minute.
That's my bad. Instagram. That's not my Instagram at all. Like, Titiana_J. There we go.
I was like, that's not it, but maybe you're sending someone somewhere else.
No.
Why are there all these pictures of poodles?
this is, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's it. And then, I mean, this is the second of many. So, nice. Yeah.
And I mean, I guess to Brian's point, if you show up somewhere and you pull out your cell phone and someone says, that's not a real camera, how do you respond to that in a positive way?
To each his own. Whatever works for you is what works for you. What works for me is what works for me. And that's it. It's as simple as that.
I love it.
Bro, these phones cost
as much as a cell phone.
Yeah, as much as a car. Much as a camera. So like, I don't understand that at all.
Much as a camera.
It's not a real
much
camera.
As a camera.
My 17 Pro costs more than my A7 III.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, be for real.
I shoot with a Ricoh. It's a smaller camera, but it's probably a couple hundred dollars less than my cell phone. So, yeah, okay.
And to your point, what you said earlier, then we're going to wrap up because I'm feeling the energy from him.
I can feel it.
Stop it.
That's great.
To your point, Q, it's like, you know, we all got access to that. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have access to the phone. So it's just a tool waiting to be used.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Utilize what you got.
Yeah.
Speaking of utilizing what you got, check out all the other shows on the Lunchador Podcast Network. Go to lunchador.org. We've got a whole bunch of different shows for you to check out, including one by the mysterious Alo-Fi called Plants and Beats. We just recorded an episode a little bit earlier today. Excited for the official launch on the Lunchador Podcast Network. Not that the camera just switched over to that person, but mysterious at the very least. And also check out, I did a whole series of previews for the Pittsburgh Fringe Festival. It did just happen about a month or so ago, but I'm really proud of those. I got about a dozen and really talking about the DIY side of creating the art you want to see, performance art in the way you want to do it. I love the Fringe stuff. It's my second time doing previews. Hope you check it out. You can check it out on Just Can't Not or Food About Town. I'm really proud of those interviews. So check those out. Check out lunchador.org. And we'll be back next time with more Behind the Glass.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
All this talk about equipment. We didn't talk about microphones at all. What kind of audio professionals are you?
Time's up.